my sister and her husband and kids go to St. Francis. And the first thing I did was I called my sister and I said, "Do you know some guy named Lauren Lacey?" And she said, "Oh yeah, he's great. He's helped my sister's son Bennett in youth group." And so I said, "Okay, this is great." But, Mike, first of all, just tell us about the why this book and how did this come to your mind?
Sure. You know, when I started writing for the Orange County Catholic newspaper, which, you know, I really appreciate them kind of giving me an opportunity. Everybody maybe dabbles in writing, you know, at some point in time in their maybe service to the church or their profession or whatever it might be. But they had a call out for writers, and I started working with them doing a couple of different series. One was a series on leadership among eighth graders in the 32 diocesan schools in Orange County, California. The other was an article series called Living Life to Its Fullest. And so it was kind of targeted towards senior age parishioners who were still doing these great things in their parish. And so I thought, gosh, you know, after I did it a few times, maybe this could be a book. Maybe it could go, you know, nationwide. So I started reaching out to priest friends of mine. I started reaching out to Catholic friends of mine all over the country. I started kind of jogging my memory and thought about Catholic parishes that I had visited either on vacation with my family or when I was working and doing a lot of traveling. And from that, I started just reaching out. And one would tell me about another parish in their area to contact, and that took me kind of full circle. So we have, as you mentioned, 16 chapters. We actually feature 18 parishioners or 18 people because there's two couples, wide range of ages, 29 to 90, and just these wonderful stories. And I was put in touch with one of the deacons at St. Francis of Assisi, Alex Barbieri, and he was very quick with Lauren's name, so that was good. We chatted a bit, then Lauren and I chatted, and gosh, it was just, there's all these compelling stories, and when you kind of, you know, peel it back, they're just, all of them are unique, and all of them are great, and I really enjoyed telling Lauren's story.
Yeah, so what is the common link between all these people? You know, parish champions, ordinary people doing extraordinary feats. I'm guessing they're, you know, if there was one thing in common, they're just servant leaders, or they're just giving a lot to their parish, or what kind of links them all together?
Well, that's a great question, Dave. The one thing, and it's not all of them, but it was five of them, were all converts. And that is, to me, was really interesting because I'm a convert myself. And so that was one thing. But and of course, it's faith. When I talk to the pastor at the parish or I talk to a deacon, you know, they always talk, it was servant leadership. And so these people, of course, are involved and have been involved for many years. But the one thing that I really found was interesting, and I'm going to call it a durability of their faith. And they had so many challenges, we all do, and some of the ones in this book are heart-wrenching challenges, but they all took those challenges, had this durability of faith that was consistent and strong and helped them along the way. So that maybe was the one consistent link among all the people.
And I imagine, you know, you chose 18 people, 16 chapters. This book could have been 100 chapters. It could have been 1,000. Was it, why did you stop at 16? Or might there be a second edition of this? Are you still going to continue working on this project?
Well, yes. In why 16? You know, I had originally this number in my mind of 25. And then it was the book was taking, in my mind, I always want things to go on my schedule, not maybe God's schedule. And so it was taking too long. I said, gosh, I want to get this out. I want to tell the story. So I said, okay, 16 seems like a good number, a doable number for me to write. But to answer your question, yes, there's a second edition that's in play. I've already done two of the chapters, and you know, again, just great stories that are out there, and I want to be able to tell those stories, because what I think is inspirational to other people in other parishes, if they happen to read the book or listen to your radio program or whatever it might be, is they might then analyze their own service, and maybe they might think, gosh, you know, I'm a devout Catholic and I attend Mass every Sunday, you know, but what do they do, you know, beyond that? And it kind of hopefully is a little bit of a reawakening to service that they maybe have been away from for a few years, and get them back involved in their particular parish.
Yeah, that's a great point. The book is called Parish Champions, Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Feats. And the probably other thing that happens is people say, you know what, this person in our parish should be highlighted. And it amazes me. And my guest on the phone is Mike Zinn. I also have Lauren Lacey from St. Francis of Assisi Catholic Church in Frisco here in studio with me as well. And Lauren, what was your first reaction when you found out that you were going to be highlighted in this book?
Well, it's a little, why me, right? There's so many deserving people. And many people have a heart of service, especially at St. Francis. So, you know, I tend to downplay what I do. And it was, you know, there are lots and lots of people who are certainly deserving of this. And it's a little bit of, okay, well, I guess I can be a representative here, but it's, you know, something that's not unique to me by any means.
Yeah. Well, probably that response right there is one of the reasons why you're highlighted, is that you're not like, well, I was the most deserving person. And yeah, very much of a humble servant leadership. Yeah, I love, you know, like I said, this chapter 12 is, you know, where you are highlighted. And it's the only chapter I've read so far in the book. But I find it intriguing the way Mike lays it out, because he first starts talking about the city of Frisco. Mm-hmm. And I found that fascinating, because you know, I know Frisco, it's an amazing story in itself, and then kind of zeroes in on the Church of St. Francis of Assisi, a little bit of background, and then gets into your story and the fact that you're in Frisco, Texas, and even in the Catholic Church in the first place is kind of amazing.
That's right. Yep.
Because you grew up in Wyoming in a non-denominational church, and your path to the Catholic faith was amazing. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah, I grew up in a very small town. There were two churches in the small city in Wyoming, Glen Rock, which was kind of the Catholic church and the everybody else church. And it was nominally under the Baptist, but it was, like you say, non-denominational. We had Lutherans and Methodists and Presbyterians. And for me, you know, I was always active in my church and helping, you know, serve the poor and the community and things like that. And I did go to a Catholic church with some friends. I'd stay the night and they would go to Mass. And one of the things I can remember about that was when we said the creed in Mass, and I thought, oh, wow, this is the perfect example of exactly what everything believes. Why don't we, you know, why don't we say that? And fast forward through that, but I went to college and I went to look for, you know, the same church that I had grown up in, and I didn't really find. I went to a Baptist church that was a little bit more evangelical, and you know, tambourines and snakes, and it was a little different for me. And so I, you know, I called my mom and said, hey, you know, I went to church and it was a little different than what I'm used to. What, you know, what do you suggest? And she said, well, just go find another church. And it got, I said, you can't do that. Like, you can't, you believe in something, you have to find the church. Mm-hmm. And that was really the first time that got me thinking about what is the true church. And you know, a very long, you know, 10, 12 years of discovery and searching, and eventually ending up in the Catholic Church, which I'm grateful for, because if I hadn't become Catholic, I wouldn't have met my wife, because we met at church. So
Yeah, which is a fascinating story itself because that happened in Tokyo.
Yes.
And she's Korean, is that right?
Vietnamese.
A Vietnamese woman from Texas in Japan. What are the chances? You mentioned in the, one of the brilliant ways that Mike has written this chapter on you is he kind of focuses on what you call God moments. Mm-hmm. And there were several God moments in your life that led you to where you are today. Do you want to highlight some of those God moments?
I think, you know, the one, there's a few that stick out for me, but one is meeting my wife in church was really this seeing someone in prayer and seeing it so fervent and devout.
Yeah.
Was just amazing to me to experience that of another person. And then I think also another one was really abandoning our will when we were moving back from Ireland of where to go. Like, do we go to California where I had a job? Do I go back to Colorado where I had a house? We got married, you know, since we'd both moved out from the U.S. And abandoning our will that said, come home to your family. And that was, it turned out to be a blessing in disguise. My parents had retired here. My wife's family's from here. My sister had gotten transferred. Her husband had gotten transferred here. So we were around family. And knowing that it would all work out was really a true moment of grace, to be able to be with my family, and then have my mom, you know, pass away shortly after we came back. But to know that I got to spend time with her, that I wouldn't have had we moved to Colorado or California.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that really stands out in the book is the influence of people who were Catholic that you just kind of happened to bump into. And one, you know, you're an electrical engineering student at the University of Wyoming back in the 1980s, and your roommate was a faithful Catholic.
Yes.
And then you end up working at Xilinx, and a lady there encourages you to go to RCIA.
Yes.
And so I think this is one of the lessons in this story, which again, Mike Zinn has written beautifully, is these little encouragements along the way.
Yes.
Of just somebody that just loves their faith and wants to talk about it in the dorm room, that had a big influence on your conversion, didn't
it? Yeah, for sure. And it wasn't in a pushy way. It was from a hey, let me just tell you about this. It wasn't that you're wrong, I'm right, kind of put up with all of my million questions that I had. And that was so encouraging. So yeah, and you know, inviting me to Mass and inviting me to RCIA, like that was a big, like, don't be afraid to invite people to those things was a lesson that I took away from that.
I want to mention one other thing and then go back to Mike, the author of this book. Mike Zinn is the author of Parish Champions, Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Feats by Mike Zinn. And Lauren Lacey from St. Francis of Assisi Parish in Frisco is in studio with me. Mike's on the phone. And towards the end of the chapter 12 about you, Lauren, it talks about you being a lector, an usher, Eucharistic minister. You're involved in RCIA. You're involved in the Acts missions. You're also in St. Vincent de Paul Society. You're working with young people. A lot of people say, and then of course you got a wife and two children. Mm-hmm. How did you balance all this work at the parish and then also be able to be devoted to not only your family, but also your job?
Yeah, it's gotten easier now that the kids are older. My oldest is now in college, and the youngest is a junior at Memorial High School. So it's gotten easier, but part of being involved in, so as an example, faith formation was so that I could spend more time with my kids because they were in faith formation. So why don't I lead the class for that?
Mm-hmm.
And St. Vincent de Paul, it's sort of like, you know, be an example of how to serve the poor and the needy to my family. You know, it's not always been easy, but tried to do the best that I can in being an example and a leader for my family, as well as participating with them in our faith community.
Yeah, well, you can see from Lauren's discussion here about this, why he was highlighted as one of these 16 parish champions. And I want to go back to Mike Zinn on the phone. He's the author of this, Parish Champions, Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Feats. And Mike, do you want to highlight maybe a little thumbnail sketch of a couple of the other people that you featured in this book, and maybe just to give us a little variety of the kind of people that people can read about if they pick up the book?
Sure. No, absolutely. I'll kind of take you through the age spectrum a little bit with two people. And one, because Lauren's from Wyoming, Chapter 7 is a young man named Victor Perez. He's at Our Lady of the Mountains Catholic Church in Jackson, Wyoming. Victor's the 29-year-old young man who was featured, and his story is one of those kind of heart-wrenching stories where he comes from Mexico on a work visa. His sister was already in Wyoming, and you know, through a whole series of events, he is deported and he's imprisoned. And some of those were admittedly his doing, but he also, through that process, met a young woman who had a previous marriage and a couple of kids, and then she championed his cause, believed in him, and he's now, you know, they're married, raising these two children that were from his wife, and he's got his own small kind of contracting business and has become so involved. He's going to be going through the diaconate program here in, I think, a year. And it's this wonderful story of preservation, you know, and just when everything, he's in jail, he's at a holding facility somewhere in Colorado, and he's thinking, you know, my life's over with, and I'm going to be deported a second time, and somehow the courts kind of overturned that. So that was a great story. Another story, this is my 90-year-old. It's the third chapter, Cookie Saldana, who is, if any of you are familiar with Southern California, there's an island 26 miles off of the coast of Southern California called Catalina. And Cookie grew up on the island, still lives there. She's 90 years old. She still walks down a little hill to the parish there, St. Catherine of Alexandria. And, you know, does all these things. She does the laundry for, you know, the parish, for the sacristan when he sets up for mass, for the credence table and various things. But she started off as a young, I think a 12-year-old, with a bunch of her girlfriends, and they cleaned the rectory. That was their part-time job. So, you know, it's this story of her family and generations of living on this little island, and their faith and their service that they've done. And she's still, you know, very active in the church. So there's, you know, there's those feel good stories. There's ones of, you know, of parents losing children at a very young age and their challenges in looking for, you know, direction, you know, from God, of where they were going to go, but that maybe has turned them into forming grief groups at their parish that didn't exist before. So, you know, it's just, there's just this wide range of stories that, you know, that do have interconnections, but are each unique.
Mike Zinn, again, the author, his website, lifecoachingbymikezinn.com. Zinn is spelled Z-I-N-N, lifecoachingbymikezinn.com. Mike, what's the best way for somebody to pick up the book if they want to get a copy?
It's available through Amazon, and so that's a pretty simple process. You know, again, I've told people, not because I'm trying to make a lot of money. You don't really make any money on these books, but you get a chance to tell stories. I'm even talking to some people who are going to use the book in some of their Bible study classes, where they have a section on service to the church, and so they're going to buy them for the group, and you know, so there's a lot of wide range usages for it, but Amazon is the source if somebody wants to buy it.
Yeah, super, and I hope maybe you can get it in some Catholic bookstores as well. I'll talk to some of the local Catholic bookstores about that as well. Lauren Lacy, absolutely, of course, featured in Chapter 12 from St. Francis of Assisi Catholic Church in Frisco, and as I mentioned before, I love how in every one of these chapters, Mike first of all talks about the region, the city, the area where the person's from, then he goes into the parish, and then the person. It seems to be very formulaic, which I think is nice. It's organized very nicely. And Lauren, I just want to maybe give you a chance to brag a little bit about St. Francis of Assisi Parish. As I mentioned, my sister and her husband and kids go there. We had your graphic designer, Maria Diaz, in recently. And she was saying, oh, yeah, of course, I know Lauren. And, of course, Father Rudy Garcia, the pastor, right. Father Deacon Alex, that we spoke about before. It's a big, bustling parish. What do you want to say about the parish?
Yeah, it is very big. You know, and it's amazing that in the 60s, it was a parish that was meeting in, you know, a house, someone's house. And then they bussed people to the nearby parish, and eventually came to where it is today. That's a very big, very fast-growing parish. We just started our capital campaign to build some additional meeting room spaces and things like that. And even though it's a big parish, it feels small. Like, it's very welcoming. There's lots to get involved with. There's so many ways to serve the parish, that it's super easy to find something that fits exactly what you're looking for. So,
and they also have a new cafe over there,
the Gubbio's coffee. You know, I have to admit, I didn't know how this was going to go over. I thought, oh, this is very Protestant-y. But it's been such a blessing, because it's everyone comes there to gather, and that's what it's all about, is creating a community. Before faith formation, after mass, all of these kind of things. So it's been a really...
And we've
really
been talking to Deacon Alex about going over there and doing a live broadcast.
Oh, that would be terrific.
We got that in the works. Lauren Lacy, thank you very much for being here from St. Francis of Assisi Parish in Frisco. And also Mike Zinn on the phone, thank you for writing this book. And you can find it on Amazon and perhaps some of your Catholic bookstores soon as well. Parish Champions, Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Feats by Mike Zinn, Z-I-N-N. Again, if you want to learn more about Mike and his work, you can go to Life Coaching by Mike Zinn. Mike, thank you very much for taking time with us today.
You bet. Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Lauren.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right. And this has been the North Texas Interview of the Week. And we appreciate you listening. Also supporting Guadalupe Radio Network and other great apostolates like your local parish, like St. Francis, so we can continue the work of the Lord and spreading the good news through Catholic radio and other means as well. Thanks also to Cecil Anderson for running the board. Hope you have a great rest of your weekend. God bless you. And thank you for listening.
St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church invites all GRN listeners to an Advent Night of Worship. Prepare your heart for Christmas at the Advent Night of Worship on Tuesday, December 17th at 6:15 p.m. at St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church in Dallas. The evening begins with Mass, followed by the exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, Advent Reflection, music with Dave and Lauren Moore, desserts, and fellowship. Bring your friends and family. For more information, visit stadallas.org/news.
Hi, I'm Evan Frazier, owner of TechWise Financial and a sponsor of the Guadalupe Radio Network. Did you know that one of the features of happily married couples is peace when it comes to money matters and financial decisions? At TechWise, we offer faith-based financial planning where you can bring your faith and finances together on one path. To learn more about TechWise Financial and see the financial services we provide, you can visit us at techwisefinancial.com. That's TEKWISEFinancial.com.
Hello, this is the North Texas Interview of the Week. My name is Tom Sinteri, and I'm the general manager of 1140 AM Fort Worth and 101.5 FM in Cleburne. This is airing on 910 AM and 1140 AM. Dave Palmer is the typical host, but I'm in here, you know, shaking things up a little bit, just see if you're paying attention. So anyway, I'm delighted to be here with Tony Kelly with Catholic Charities. She is the annual giving officer of Catholic Charities Fort Worth, located in South Fort Worth. Just happy to have you on here.
Thank you, Tom. I'm happy to be here too.
Cool. Could you share with the audience where you were born and brought up?
Sure. I was born and raised in Peru. I moved to the United States when I was about 26 years old. I was born and raised Catholic, went to Catholic school, finished, went to hospitality school, and when I was working in hotels, I decided to go back to school, and I went to a Catholic-only girls' university. And then life brought me here to the United States, and I'm now working at Catholic Charities Fort Worth.
That's cool. You mentioned you had grown up Catholic. Is there something that you'd want to share about your faith journey or some of the major milestones along those lines?
Yeah, I went to Catholic schools. I don't know. Everybody has a different journey. My country, everybody tells they are very Catholic, but I did not learn my faith there. I actually learned my faith here in the United States, which I am blessed to have experienced that growth here, the growth of my faith. There is a lot of things that are not said or told about, and I pretty much felt that I grew up blind in my faith. Mm-hmm. But thanks be to God, I'm here, and I learned everything that I know. Well, not everything, you know, as much as I know now, that I feel that it's a lot from compared to where I was back in my country.
What were the major areas where you learned a lot of that? As far as, was it at the parish? Was it a particular mentor or your parents?
My parents, my dad was, they were both Catholic, but he will go to church or sometimes he wouldn't. And my mom was always volunteering, and I loved that passion of her. And my grandma didn't go, but she said that she was Catholic as well. So there is a lot of misconception, I think, back there in my country. And don't get me wrong, there is a lot of people that are very faithful and all, but that's not the experience that I had. And when I came back here and I was pretty much lost, when I was a teenager, I decided to just be good and do good and walked out of my church, and I would just go whenever my best friend will visit because she was very Catholic. And when my mom visited, then I will have to take her to church, so I will go with her. But then when I had my kids, I thought, I need to do something. You know, if I want to teach them something or bring them in the faith, I need to be practicing and I need to teach them what's better for them. And it was actually when I started working at St. John the Apostle Catholic School that a lot of my colleagues and friends there and second family now taught me a lot about my faith. And I was like a little child, you know, discovering a lot of new things that I didn't know. And now I said, I need to pass that on to my daughters. And I, you know, it's my mission now.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
Thank you.
Speaking of your daughters and your husband, can you talk about your vocation or what did you fall into and a little bit about your family?
Yes, I have two beautiful daughters. Everybody will say the same about their kids.
One of them is in the studio, FYI.
And she doesn't want
to
talk.
She is a supporter, but not a talker.
Yes, my husband was also brought Catholic. He was a Knights of Columbus. He's still a Knight of Columbus. But that's when I met him, he was going to the meetings once a week, and I will ask him, what are you guys doing there? And he will be like, oh, it's just for men. I can't tell you. But now he works for the Knights of Columbus. He is insurance agent. Yeah. And he helps all people in Denton area, you know, all the north part of Texas, Gainesville, Minster, and all that.
And did y'all meet when your family came here, or did you meet in Peru?
It's a funny story. To make it short, I was living in Florida. My papers were about to expire, and I was completely, you know, telling everybody I was done. And I said, okay, I will just go back to my country, and I'll be single forever because I had bad experiences in a relationship. And a friend told me, why don't you go to eHarmony? And I was like, I'm not going to meet somebody online. And all of my friends were like, just give it a chance. And I said, I will try for a month. And that's how I met him. And I put in there, older Catholic, and I put all the things that I wanted from a guy, and God sent me him.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah,
we also met on Catholic Match, so it's kind of crazy how online has become a very top option, I guess. And yeah. At the time, it was like, no, I'm not going to meet anybody online. I need to meet them in person, but mm-hmm. God has this sense of humor.
Yeah,
so
God has a plan.
And, you know, we weren't running our accounts. We were just kind of passively using them. So we could, when we logged on, it was like, oh, what's going on here? So that's kind of funny how that works. So, yeah. Oh, praise the Lord. Cool.
Yeah.
So when did y'all move from Florida to Dallas-Fort Worth?
I was living in Orlando and he was living here in Fort Worth.
Oh, okay.
And when he asked me to move to Texas, and I said, why don't you move to Orlando? And he said, well, Texas is a better place to raise a family. The taxes are lower. You know, you can make more money there. It's, you know, he gave me all the pros and cons, and I was like, okay, let's do it. But I want a serious relationship. And he says, oh, no, I want marriage and all that. So I moved here to Texas. We got married through the JOP, and then we started doing our,
marriage prep?
Yes.
Pre-Cana?
Yes, all yeah. of that stuff.
Yada, yada.
Yes, we did all that. And then we finally got married later on through the church because God blessed us with Annie in the way. Well, we were getting to that part. So, yeah.
And she's in her first year in Indiana?
She's in Indiana at Holy Cross at Notre Dame.
Wow.
Yes.
That's cool.
Okay. Far away.
Far away, but far, close, yes. In our hearts, here, yeah. In spirit.
Yeah. Yes, that is true.
So you were at St. John the Apostle in North Richland Hills before Catholic Charities.
That is correct.
So what was that experience like for you?
Like I said, that they are my second family. I learned a lot about my faith there, and my daughters were... Well, my husband and I raised them, but they spent a lot of time at school with the teachers. So I always say that they helped me raise my daughters, and it was a partnership, I think. And whatever we pray about and talk about at home, it was the same at the school. So there was no conflict of, you know, faith and stuff like that.
Yeah, those are special places that it's just a second home, and you trust everybody, and yes. You just kind of have this great, small, tight-knit group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the classes were small. They still are small, and the teachers are awesome in there. And I love them. Awesome. I love them.
And before that, you were in hospitality. So what, mm-hmm. what drew you, attracted you to that field?
Hospitality? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Well, since this is a Catholic radio, I'll be honest. When I was growing up, I was very smart. I still think I am, but I was lazy, and I just wanted something quick that will help me pay my bills and travel around the world. So people told me, well, go to hospitality school, and that's what I did. And then when I finished hospitality school, I learned that I love nutrition. And so I went back to school, but I didn't finish that career, but I still love nutrition.
That's okay. That's okay. I mean, everything happens for a reason, and it's...
Now I cook good meals for my kids.
Yeah. Everything connects.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think it's interesting that you said you were kind of just looking for something to gravitate to, because... From when I've known you as a personable person who's fun to be around and easy to connect with, and kind of a servant leader. So mm-hmm. all of that really resonates with the hospitality side of things. So I thought, wow. So, but it's kind of cool that you fell into it and, well, let's just do this.
Yeah. I'm a very easygoing person, and somebody told me, well, then you need to do this. And I said, okay, I'll try it. Yeah. And I went to hospitality school, and it's a lot of fun. You get to... go from, you know, you start at one hotel, and sometimes those are chains that will send you to one or other, or they are partners, and you can just travel and get a special rate, or, you know, sometimes free or upgrades, things like that.
What's your favorite place that you've traveled to?
Oh boy, I don't know. Well, recently we went to Japan, and it was an awesome trip. It was a family trip.
Okay.
Annie picked it as her graduation gift.
Oh,
she
nice.
Gave me enough time to save.
Awesome.
So, and since I work at Catholic Charities Fort Worth, I sign up to one of the programs they have. They also help the employees, and they show me how to better my finances and how to put money aside and where not to expend my money and things like that. So I was able to save.
That's one of the things that impressed me about Catholic Charities Fort Worth on helping people to plan and do those little things that maybe aren't taken for granted, but maybe overlooked subconsciously. So let's talk about the bridge from St. John the Apostle to Catholic Charities, because you're there now. So it's like, okay, how did that happen? How did you hear about the opening or what kind of got your interest into that?
Yeah, it's funny. God has a plan. And I'm a true believer of that. When I started St. John's, I was a stay-at-home mom with Ian. And I joined a mom's program. And through the mom's program, somebody told me, the school is hiring a part-time receptionist and needs to be bilingual. And I said, well, Annie's going to start school there, so sign me up. And that's how I started, part-time receptionist. And through the 13 years I was there, I was moved to full-time and then admissions, enrollment, marketing, social media. Did I say admissions? Development, event planning. So I was, you know, a nonprofit, we wear a lot of hats.
Everything, yeah.
Yes. So I was kind of like the face of the school pretty much and organizing all the fundraisers, networking, and when I was networking, I met this awesome lady. Her name is Amity. Now she's not at Catholic Charities anymore. She opened her own restaurant in Denton. But she is the one that told me, Tony, we need a major gift officer here at Catholic Charities Fort Worth. And I thought about you. And she was telling me all this. And I was like, no, I'm happy at St. John's. They're like my second family. I'm not looking for anything. And she kept telling me, and she says, well, I think that you will be great at this. And she started mentioning all of the good things that she thought I had to fill in that position. And at that moment, I stopped and I thought, is this what God really wants? I think it was like a Holy Spirit moment. And it made me think, like, God was telling me, I put you at St. John's for 13 years and I trained you to be in a nonprofit because I don't have an experience in nonprofits. And it's to help my people. And, well, Alexa, my youngest, is still at that school. And Annie had already graduated from there. So the first person I wanted to ask was her because Annie was at school throughout St. John's and I was always there. And not with Alexa. So I asked her, hey, I'm not looking for anything, but this opportunity just showed up. And she asked me, can you just wait 2 years until I graduate from St. John's? And I said, well, the opportunity will be gone in 2 years. And she said, well, why would you do it? And I said, because at St. John's, I can help 100 of people a year, and usually it's the same people every year. Same families. But at Catholic Charities, I can help thousands of families, and it's going to be a different family every year. And she said, go for it, Mom.
That's
how I started applying, and I got in there.
Cool. And so in the interview process, what led you to feel like this is a good fit, or what they were saying was jiving with what you were hearing, and this seems to align?
I love helping people. I don't have the means sometimes to give monetarily. I will be broke if I did that. But because I have a family and that's my vocation right now. But I am I'm a true believer that whenever my kids are adults and gone and they don't have any financial tie with me, then I will be supporting a lot more in other places. But that is what made me want to be there, because I can give my gifts and talents and support Catholic Charities in that way and the families that we help in there.
So going into your job description at Catholic Charities, describe maybe a couple of your key, I don't want to say deliverables, that sounds weird, but some of your key responsibilities and roles that you focus on where you get to help people that you're excited about?
Yes, I mean, we help a lot of people, and I don't know how familiar all of you are about Catholic Charities Fort Worth. We've been serving the community 114. Very, very soon we'll be 115. We started on March 14, 1910, on St. Patrick's Day. No, March 17. March 17.
St. Patrick's Day. I believed you either way.
Yeah. And it was just a group of ladies that decided to give money, and they made like quilts and things like that to sell them at the State Fair of Texas. And with that little money, they will just give to the poor. And little by little, we added more services and programs depending on what the present needed. So some programs we are not doing anymore, but we are adding as we see the need. And at this moment, well, 10 years ago, we decided to partner with Notre Dame, the University of Notre Dame, with their Lab of Economic Development, or no, Lab of Economic Opportunity. We call it LEO. And it's a research pack, and we can help the families get out of poverty, and we provide them with financial coaching, mental health coaching as well. There are so many things that sometimes these families don't know because they are like in a fight and flight plan. And when you are in that situation, you don't have time to think what, you know, if I can save money right now. You just have the bills in front of you, and sometimes you are just drowning in them. So you can just pay what you have at the moment. And sometimes other bills get behind, and then you have the interest or the extra fees that align, and it's very hard for them to catch up. But when they come to our office and they sign up, we run an assessment. We sign them a case manager, and if they sign up to our programs, then that means that they're willing to do the work. And they set goals with the case manager, and it can take them months or years because everybody has a different need and a different goal. We have a holistic approach, so we don't tell them families, you have to do this or you have to do that. We ask them, what are your needs? What do you need to, what do you see yourself in a year? Do you want to go back to school? You know, we it's all personalized. So when they do the work, they check in with their case manager, I think it's twice a month or once a week, depending on how often they need to. And they are in a path. The case manager sets a path for them. And they are to do the work, checking with them. And if any barrier comes up, then we try to take care of that. So there is a program that is called Game Changers. If anybody's called to do that, you step in. And then if somebody is behind on, they cannot make their, I don't know, energy bill this month. So sometimes says, okay, I will help her because she is doing everything else that requires to for her to continue her path out of poverty. Or gets a low tire, you know, a tire blew up and they cannot go to school anymore, or they cannot go to work, or they cannot find childcare. We try to find all those things for them so they can continue on their path out of poverty. We give them a handout, not a hand up. And so, and we are about to start a new program called LIFT that it's going to open up to the rural areas. So people that don't have access to transportation or are caregivers or, you know, that they cannot travel to our area, or the case managers won't have to spend time traveling to visit them. It's going to... So the case managers can continue the same amount of clients instead of, you know, having just less clients because they need to travel to different areas. So we're going to create a virtual program for those, and it's going to be a randomized control. So you don't know what you're going to get, but we're going to get like 600 in person and 700 virtually.
Wow.
Yes, and that's going to open it up to a lot more people, so we're going to be able to break that poverty cycle for them.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that might be hesitant to do something because of the barrier of computers or mm-hmm. being able to travel. So that's that's huge that you're going after the root issue there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess that with COVID too, a lot of people are now used to Zoom and Teams and, you know, all those online communication systems.
Stuff. So we kind of started with personal and then we shifted to professional. And at the end, I will give your contact information so people can reach out to you.
Yes.
Just as a reminder, this is the North Texas Interview of the Week, talking with Tony Kelly, Annual Giving Officer at Catholic Charities Fort Worth. This is airing on 910 AM, 1140 AM, and 101.5 FM in Cleburne. I'm the general manager of 1140 AM, and Dave Palmer is the typical host, but I'm throwing some curveballs and here just enjoying time with Tony. And wanted to ask you a couple other questions, personal and radio related, but how long have you been a listener of GRN?
I have been listening on and off. When usually I travel is when I do all my radio listening. And usually I start my day with prayer. But I do my prayers when I drive. That is my time for prayer. And as the years go along, I think I have been adding up on more prayer, and it's taking a lot more time for me to complete that task. So I try to listen to Guadalupe Radio Network whenever I am done with my prayers. I do a lot of driving, so that's the good time. So it's on and off, but it's good to hear, you know, the God's stuff.
Right.
Good stuff.
Do you have a favorite program, or I know you mentioned the prayer. Do you are the prayers kind of key for you, or is there a particular program or segment that you most like?
Not necessarily. I cannot remember. I am really bad at remembering names, but
that's okay.
Yeah, there was this one time I was driving in the night, and it was calming, and I can't remember his name, but it was this guy, and he was talking, and I think he was interviewing somebody. And I don't know. It was just calming when I was doing my driving at night.
I'll have to do some digging to find out who that is. Cool. Yeah, there's so many great offerings that it's hard to pick just one sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favorite saint?
Probably because I'm from Peru, St. Rose of Lima.
Oh, yes. That's a good one. Yeah, or favorite
patron of Americas.
Yes. And you mentioned starting your day with prayer. Do you have a favorite prayer?
Well, I don't know. I like them all. I do the, I'm really bad with names, the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And I started that when my dad passed away, because I pray for his soul every day since he passed. And I do the Rosary every day. St. Michael. And the Act of Contrition.
Mm.
I met this nun at St. John the Apostle. Mm-hmm. And he told me once that they were driving, and one of their tires popped, and they were afraid because they lost control of their car, and they didn't know if they were gonna hit somebody or the median, and they were very worried that something was gonna happen to them. And she said they all started praying the Act of Contrition, and that stuck in my mind. And she said, you never know when it's going to be your day, and you better, you know, when you cannot get to confession, then just pray your Act of Contrition. I do go to confession, but I also pray my Act of Contrition.
Thanks for listening to KATH 910 AM, Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Catholic radio for your soul in North Texas. Heard also on grnonline.com and on your smartphone.